Show up. Be that bitch. We are that bitch. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Unfashionable Podcast. My name is Andy Andrews. For those of you who do not know me, if you're a returning listener or a returning viewer, hi, it's so nice to see you here again. I will be your host and your healer until death does us part. So without further ado, let's get right into this week's episode. Do you ever find yourself feeling stuck? No matter how much you strive and push forward at something, all you keep getting is pushback? What if I told you the secret to unlocking your next breakthrough actually comes when you allow yourself to break away? Not by pushing yourself to do more, but by pushing yourself to do less. This week, we're challenging everything we know about hustle culture, revealing the power of patience and the power of pauses. It's hard, isn't it? Trying to keep up with work, our personal lives, our goals, our hobbies, our bodies, especially if you live in a city like LA, there's pretty bitches everywhere. Scrolling on Instagram, there's pretty bitches everywhere. The pressure to do better than our best is everywhere. So we push ourselves. We push ourselves into working longer hours than we should. We push ourselves to do the workout, even though our bodies are telling us no. We push ourselves to the point of no return. Burnout and overwhelm. I've been struggling a little bit with my fitness ritual lately just because there's been a lot of changes going on inside and out. And I've just been too lazy to get on the ground, to be honest, to do my workout. So I've been walking a lot more. I'm not a runner, personally. I hate running with a passion, but I know it's good for you. So I try to do it from time to time. So last week, it was around 8:30. I was already exhausted. I had just gotten home, but I still went for a run. Where I messed up was I didn't eat dinner that night because it was just already too late. And I was like, what use is the food to me now after an exercise? The next day, I woke up and I was on the verge of passing out. I got up to use the little girl's room and I was like seeing floater spots. I literally thought I was losing my vision because I was like look in one direction and I couldn't see anything in that specific point. And I was terrified. I spent the whole day with a migraine that I could not get rid of, all because I dodged dinner the night before. I'm already such a skinny bitch. Am I to my goal? No. But I pushed myself to the limit when I shouldn't have. But there it was. Burnout and overwhelm in its most physical manifestation. I was dead in bed for a day, still consumed by my thoughts of work and my responsibilities. Only now, there wasn't a single thing that I could do about it because I needed to rest. Back when I worked a 9-to-5, there would be days that I called out of work and I would feel guilty for it. I felt guilty for taking a day off to prioritize my mental health, even though at the time I didn't realize that's what I was doing. The idea that we have to work 5 days a week with only 2 days to relax, that does not seem manageable to me. It sounds like the formula for misery. I felt like a loser when I would call out because I felt like I was staying home to be lazy. But that's exactly what I needed. It wasn't lazy, it was leisure. Now, before people come for my neck and say, well, Andy, some people don't have the luxury to take the day off. They can't afford to take the day off to watch TV and do nothing. And to those people, I would say, you might not have the luxury to take the day off, but every day you have the luxury to prioritize your health and your well-being. Whether that means cleansing your day off in the shower or cooking up a good dinner with your family. What is going to help you sleep at night? Is it a good session with your journal? Or are you cuddling up with a good book? There's power in prioritizing our well-being. There's power in pausing. And there's power in patience. With so much information coming at us every day from all different angles, it's important to distinguish thoughtful stillness from passive avoidance. Thoughtful stillness is intentional, it's vibrational, and it raises your frequency to a higher vibration. Passive avoidance is straight up procrastination, which lowers your vibration. And well, no one wants that. Intentionality is a plan, while procrastination is a delay of those plans. When I say thoughtful stillness, I don't mean thoughtless scrolling. I mean taking a strategic pause in order to gain a greater perspective, prevent mistakes from happening, and or realign your idea back to the original goal. Throughout my journey from fashion to becoming your favorite podcast host, I think I've learned, and it's a practice, but I think I've learned that rushing and trying to get from A to Z overnight is definitely not realistic. If you want to build something that is going to last, you have to be patient enough to watch it grow. Meditation is a great way to break away from your projects or your work life because I feel like to me, a good meditation feels like you're leaning on Earth's energy. Ugh, it's like the support that you did not know that you needed. But at first, it's kind of hard. I couldn't get the hang of like the whole meditation thing because my thoughts were just racing. But that's the point. The goal is not to attach to those thoughts, but to let them pass freely while focusing on the ins and outs of your breath. It's kind of like emptying out the junk folder in your emails. Some emails are helpful, some are trash, some might need to get flagged so you don't forget about them. But you need to review them, or else the folder becomes a boulder. Our thoughts become our demise. By allowing yourself those 10 to 13 minutes in between working blocks or family blocks, you allow your body and your nervous system to realign instead of derail itself. If it helps, there are tons of guided meditations on YouTube. Personally, I like the 10 to 15 minute ones, but whatever feels right for you is what you should choose. Sometimes you won't even feel any different after a meditation. That just means you're beyond the point of no return. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Sometimes you might feel like nothing happened, and that's okay. Meditation isn't this instant magical transformation, and I think that's why a lot of people don't have the time or the patience for it. But just like patience, it's a practice. One meditation will not be the end-all, be-all solution for everything, but it will encourage you to practice stillness in a way that becomes a tool for when overwhelm and anxiety come knocking, because they will, every month. Especially if you get your period. If meditation isn't for you, taking a walk is just as effective. Not skipping your workout is just as effective. Cooking yourself a meal instead of going to a fast food drive-in is just as effective. The body needs to move so the energy can move, period. The work is always going to be there when you get back. Who else is going to do it? So allow yourself to take an intentional pause. Who's in charge here? You or the work? You just need to ask yourself, if I take a break from what I'm doing for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever the case may be, is it going to help my progress or is it going to hinder it? Don't get me wrong. We all have those days where we have to grind a little harder and work a little longer, but it shouldn't be every day around the clock. Our priority is our well-being, not the work that we do. Just ask Bill Gates. Beginning in the 1980s, he began taking a whole week off. Called them his think weeks. They're now referred to as buffer weeks, but like, no wonder boy was a genius. He made the time. He made the time to jet off to a cozy cabin and do nothing. Of course, by doing nothing, he was reading, he was reflecting, and he was strategizing. But it was a disconnect from the noise. It was a disconnect from his routine. And when we allow ourselves to disconnect with the intention to connect with our higher selves, magic happens. By allowing himself these uninterrupted periods of reflection, he was able to reevaluate strategies for Microsoft and identify new opportunities. He found a way to prevent burnout while also improving his decision-making skills. Pretty iconic, if you ask me. If you don't fuck with my Bill Gates example, maybe you'll fuck with the incubation effect. The incubation effect is a study in neuroscience that shows periods of mental rest actually activate the brain's default mode, which fuses our information to connect the dots that we might otherwise miss during straight-up tunnel vision-focused work. Why do you think you hear people's come-up stories and they're like, yeah, dude, I was just in the shower and the idea popped in my head? Yeah, because they allowed themselves to disconnect. They stopped chasing after the idea, and one day, the idea just came to them. If it's for you, it will not miss you. Maybe it's not the right time, but it will find you when the time is right. Another example, I saw this one on social media, is something called an astronaut nap. It's a 26-minute long nap that helps reset your mind. That is actually the perfect time length example to try the incubation effect. I've actually tried the 26-minute nap maybe two or three times, and it really is the perfect middle between meditation and rest. It's not quite the deepest sleep, but it allows you to drift away a little bit. It's not a teaser nap or something that will get you more tired. In my opinion, it's pretty refreshing. But if you fall asleep past the 26-minute alarm, then I think you just deserve more sleep. I know some people wake up like zombies after a nap. That's why they don't like them very much. But 26 minutes, I find it to be a good middle ground. Trust me, I like a good nap, and a good nap to me is like 2 hours. But how productive is that? So the next time you want to take a nap, take it. The next time someone calls you lazy for taking a 10, be like, I was actually taking an astronaut nap, okay? I was resetting my brain, you fucking loser. Just kidding, you don't have to be so aggressive. Don't be aggressive. If you end up trying the astronaut nap, I would love to hear your take on it. With that being said, I think it's time to put this episode to rest. But before we go, I'd like to close out with our last section, the unlearning section, where we discuss any habits or mindsets that we might have defaulted to growing up that maybe we want to change going forward. This week, I'm unlearning the habit of multitasking. I used to take so much pride in being able to multitask. I even described myself on the last resume that I sent out as a triple tasker. Although some might see it as an advantage, what if multitasking is the very thing that is keeping us from slowing down? Think about it. Our minds are focusing on one thing, we're doing the one thing, but we're already thinking about the next thing. Why can't we just fucking rest for a second? What if, for one day, we just focused on what we're doing in this moment? Forget what we have to do tomorrow, or next week, or fucking in 5 hours. What are we doing for ourselves right now? Are we sabotaging ourselves? Or are we self-caring for ourselves? Thank you. If anything I touched on in this episode hit a sweet spot for your little heart, please let me know. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate every single moment that we share together. I love you, and always remember, showing up as your higher self is never. It's never off trend, okay? Don't let anybody fucking make you think otherwise. Show up. Be that bitch. We are that bitch. Okay, I'll see you next week. Love you.